Let me just show you this real quick. This comes from the United States' own federal code, and this is called 28 USC 3002, and we're going to go to 15A. These are definitions. How does the U.S. federal code define United States? How do they define United States? You're not defining the United States like this. They are. And the way they define United States is a federal corporation. The United States is a federal corporation, and they view you as subjects under the 14th Amendment of that corporation. The word subjected under the jurisdiction of is spelled out in the 14th Amendment. So when people say that they're for the Constitution, what parts of the Constitution are you for? I agree with Lysander Spooner. Whatever the Constitution is, this thing is certain. It's either authorized such a tyrannical government as we have, or it's been powerless to stop it. In either case, it's unfit to exist. There are some things that are good. It testifies to natural law. You have the right to speak what you want to speak. You have the right to freedom of press. You have the right to air your grievances. It's the old RAPS thing, R-A-P-P-S, religion, assembly, petition, press, speech. Those are the five freedoms articulated and codified in the First Amendment. Do you have the right to keep and bear arms, which shall not be infringed? Yes. Do you have it because we have a Second Amendment? No. You have it because you're a human being, and no other human being has the right to infringe on your right. Do you have the right to be secure in your persons, houses, papers, and effects according to the Fourth Amendment? You absolutely do. Do you have that right because we have something on a 250-year-old piece of parchment that's over there parked in the National Archives under bulletproof glass? No, that's not why you have it. You have that right because you have blood coursing through your veins and you're a human being, and you don't have more rights than somebody else. You don't have less rights than somebody else. Nobody has a higher claim over your life and property than you. But when you call yourself a United States citizen, you're actually calling yourself a subject of what they define as a federal corporation. They define it as that. So rethink this idea that you're a U.S. citizen, because when you say you're a U.S. citizen, you're thinking of something completely different from when they say you're a U.S. citizen, because what they mean is you're a subject to our federal corporation. You're subject to our laws. You're under the jurisdiction of our reign and our edicts. Always remember that. Again, that's 28 USC 3002 15A. So think twice about calling yourself a U.S. citizen. I wanted to go over this right here, Glick versus Kunef. This is an important Supreme Court case. This isn't a tip of the hat to the Supreme Court. Sometimes they get it right. So what's the it that they get right? Sometimes they make a ruling that's in accordance with common law or natural law. Not so much constitutional law, because when you put the Constitution in the lap of SCOTUS, or the Supreme Court of the United States, they operate under Marbury versus Madison from 1803. And I know that Marbury versus Madison, 1803, says that any law that's, you know, in violation of the Constitution is null and void. That's right. But the part that's wrong is, in Marbury versus Madison, the Supreme Court of the United States gave themselves the power of judicial review. What does that mean? They gave themselves the power to interpret the Constitution that they say we operate under. So that makes them the supreme law of the land. If you get to intercept the supreme law of the land and it comes to you, and now you interpret it and disperse that interpretation out to the masses, you have actually switched and you've made yourself the supreme law of the land. So yeah, sometimes the Supreme Court gets it right under common natural law. And in this case, they actually did in Glick versus Kunef. I'm going to give you a real quick rundown. This is the United States Court of Appeals for the First Circuit. They held that a private citizen, are you a private citizen? Really? Are you? Has the right to record video and audio. Do you see that? Not the privilege. You have the right to record video and audio of police carrying out their duties in a public place, and that the arrest of the citizen for a wiretapping violation violated his First and Fourth Amendment rights. The case arose when Simon Glick filmed Boston, Massachusetts police officers from the bicycle unit making an arrest in a public park. When the officers observed that Glick was recording the arrest, they arrested him, and Glick was subsequently charged with wiretapping, disturbing the peace, and aiding in the escape of a prisoner. Now, I think about all the times that they laid hands on somebody like Chili or anybody who was recording, and they didn't even bring this up. They didn't bring wiretapping up. They didn't bring disturbing the peace up. But what did they bring up? Officer safety. In my mind, we wouldn't even have a Glick versus Cunniff if the officers were smart, and I'm talking about evil, wicked smart, and said, you know what? Forget about this wiretapping and disturbing the peace and aiding the escape of the prisoner business, because, you know, the courts aren't going to look too kind at us if we do that. Let's say we did it for officer safety under Terry v. Ohio. I'm convinced that if Officer Cunniff and the other officers in the Boston, Massachusetts Police Department used officer safety as the reason for arresting Glick, they would have been let off scot-free and we wouldn't even have this case because he would have been found guilty. When the officers observed that he was recording, they charged him for those things. Glick then sued the city of Boston and the arresting officers, claiming that they violated his constitutional rights. In a unanimous decision, the United States Court of Appeals for the First Circuit held that the officers violated Glick's constitutional rights and that the officers were not entitled to qualified immunity. How sweet it is. This is a 2011 case, by the way, and I think cops have gotten way more crafty. They know how to bend the law to make the court sympathetic to their cause of, hey, we're just out here, we're trying to keep the peace, and we need to make sure that we have the Kevlar vest of officer safety on, because officer safety has to trump individual rights, has to trump constitutional rights, has to trump even natural law. And that's how the courts look at it. The supreme law of the land is not the Constitution of the United States. It's officer safety, practically speaking. The court ruled that the right to film the police carrying out their duties in public was clearly established and that Glick's actions did not violate state law. Well, what if they did? What if they did violate state law? Then you would have to do what they did in Houston versus Hill and say, hey, that ordinance or that state law, that doesn't hold constitutional water, buddy. You're just going to have to go back to the drawing board on that one and be a little bit more crafty. Put a couple more words in that ordinance so that we can get away with it. However, the court also noted that the right to film police officials was subject to reasonable limitations with respect to time, place, and manner in which the recording was conducted. After losing the appeal, Boston reached a settlement with Glick. Oh, we got to get this guy out of here. Let's go ahead and pay him off. We got to, this thing has to go away, and it has to go away ASAP. This is not a good, this is a public relations nightmare for us, in which they agreed to pay him $170,000 in damages and attorney fees. I wonder how much that actually covered of the expenditure that he had to go through just being dragged through the court system. This was the first case in which the United States Court of Appeals explicitly ruled that private citizens, there's that word again, they really want you to believe your citizens, have a right to film police officers in public spaces. The case drew media attention across the United States. That's why they paid the guy off. We got to get rid of this thing. It's a hot potato. And he was also cited favorably by other United States Circuit Court of Appeals that reached similar conclusions in their cases. So you can read about this background information, but what I wanted to get to was this right here. On October 1st, 2007, the case was in 2011, but this event, this incident happened in 2007. While walking in Boston Common, Simon Glick saw an arrest by Boston Bicycle Unit officers John Cunniff, Peter Savalas, and Jerome Hall Brewster. Glick began recording the arrest after he heard a bystander say, "You are hurting him, stop!" Because Glick was concerned that the officers were using excessive force, he filmed the encounter with his cell phone. Although Glick was 10 feet away and was not interfering with the arrest, one of the officers turned to him after placing cuffs on the suspect and said, "I think you have taken enough pictures." "Oh yeah," says who? "Well, I'm the authority around these parts, and if I say you've taken enough pictures, you've taken enough pictures, boy. You better hit the road, or we're going to put the silver bracelets on you." Glick replied that he was recording the incident, and he said, "I'm recording this. I saw you punch him." When the officer determined that this included audio, he placed Glick under arrest for violating a Massachusetts wiretapping law. Man, if you officers were smart, you definitely would have used in Terry v. Ohio. Glick was charged with wiretapping, disturbing the peace, and aiding the escape of a prisoner. He was taken to the South Boston Police Station, and his cell phone and computer flash drive were held as evidence. Every single one of those cops that were involved in that knew, had to know, they were violating his Fourth Amendment rights. Therefore, again, on the scene, no good cop. The Commonwealth dropped the charges of aiding an escape prior to the trial. The Boston Municipal Court dismissed the other two counts in February 2008, noting that there was no probable cause for the wiretapping arrest and that the officers were unhappy about being recorded. Why? Because they don't want the transparency that they keep saying that they desire. Glick then filed a complaint with the Internal Affairs section of the Boston Police Department after the department refused to investigate that legitimate complaint. Glick, represented by this person of the ACLU and these attorneys right here, filed a civil rights lawsuit against the officers and the city, alleging violations of his First and Fourth Amendment rights. The officers moved for dismissal based in part on, well, we got qualified immunity. We got this Kevlar, this shield. That keeps us from being liable for any kind of criminal actions we might partake in when we deal with the public. So we got qualified immunity. Yuck, 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 yuck. The United States District Court for the District of Massachusetts denied the motion, noting that, quote, this First Amendment right publicly to record the activities of police officers on public businesses is established. There's nothing you can do about it. And again, I contend that if Officer Cuniff and the other officers yelled, police officer safety, we were scared for our lives. He was within 10 feet of us. He could have closed that gap real quick and hurt all three of us grown men with firearms strapped to our sides. We were scared to death. Because our job is so difficult. It's so horrible. It's so unsafe. So that's Glick versus Cuniff.
Thank you so much for taking your time to watch this premiere. Before you head out, please do me a favor, hit that like button. It really does help to overcome the algorithms. Freedom matters or it doesn't. Give me liberty or give me death is burning like a torch in your heart or it's not. We don't have much time. We have got to save America, and the only way we can do it is to stand for our liberties and freedoms. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to this channel, hit the bell notification icon, give it a thumbs up, share it with everybody you know. Don't forget to subscribe to my email list through my website, highimpactflix.com, right there. And if you want to support the channel further, grab one of these hard-hitting conversation starting original designs from the store. You can put on a shirt, hoodie, mug, hat, cell phone case, pillowcase, whatever you want. Become a channel member. But more importantly, know what your rights are and stand bravely for your rights. Because if we don't stand for our rights, we will lose them. I appreciate every one of you, and I'll see you in the next video.